following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com. And now it's time for the Mr. Nelson Show. This is a Nelson News Bulletin.
A 45-year-old Nebraska teacher has been caught naked in car with a teen, and she's married to a Harvard-educated government official. Hello, I'm Mr. Nelson. The substitute Nebraska teacher caught naked in a car with a teenage student is a mom, married to a Harvard-educated, high-ranking federal government employee. Aaron Ward, 45, allegedly confessed to having sex with the 17-year-old boy in the back of the car and was charged with felony sexual abuse by a school employee. But the boy was a student at Burke High School, where Aaron worked. By sleeping with the teen, Ward is also accused of cheating on her husband, a director at the U.S. Department of Defense, with whom she shares three kids. Doug Ward, yeah, the husband's name is Doug, has spent nearly two decades with the U.S. Strategic Command, one of the unified combatant commands within the Defense Department, headquartered at Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha. The command detects and deters attacks against the U.S. and its allies. Doug began his career as Deputy Branch Chief in 2005 and was promoted to Deputy Director of the Commander's Action Group. Doug also has a long educational history with degrees from the University of Illinois, Bellevue University, and Harvard Extension School. He is currently completing his doctorate in defense and strategic studies at Missouri State University. Aaron Ward was arrested when Douglas County Sheriff's deputies found her allegedly fooling around with the teenage boy in the car she shared with her husband. Officers had responded to a call for a suspicious car parked on a dead-end street around 3 a.m. When they peeked into the vehicle, they saw the naked substitute teacher with the partially clothed teen in the back seat. The panicked teen hurried to the driver's seat and sped off in the vehicle, but crashed two blocks later, at which point he got out and fled on foot. Aaron Ward remained in the car, where she got dressed and then allegedly confessed to sleeping with the boy. Police found her ID from Omaha Public Schools on her, and she said she substituted at various schools, including the teen. The high schooler was later found hiding in a yard in only his t-shirt and underwear. Because the teen was above the age of consent, 16 in Nebraska, the teacher dodged statutory rape charges, but was still hit with the felony count of sexual abuse by a school employee. Well, this is just sad, you know. I mean, I guess the kid got his school fantasy lived out, but why would Aaron do this? Well, I guess he felt neglected by Doug because he was too busy studying and learning how best to defend this country from enemy attack, when all she wanted was him to be concerned about protecting her holes.
This has been a Nelson News Bulletin.
Bugman and Critter have embarked on their first adventure together in fighting crime, determined to seal their reputation as constant pests and a continual nuisance to the criminal underworld. Now, we find ourselves at Butto's, a local gym owned and operated by one Tony Butto, rumored to be a boss of organized crime.
Yeah, right? This is quite a haul, boys. But it seems old Pedro from Icarabas is coming up a little short. You might have to send him a message that if he doesn't find some cheddar soon, we're gonna have to burn his little restaurant down for the insurance money.
Yeah, but Tony, word is he's in good with the Latin lords, and they won't take kindly with us messing with Pedro.
Hey! Territory's territory, and Pedro's in my territory. And if we gotta leave a little burn spot where his restaurant used to be to mock that territory, then so be it.
Yeah, boss. Burn spot.
Yeah, that was a good one. So, what's next on the... Damn it, what's that noise? I can't hear myself think.
Yeah, I hear it. Wait a minute, I know that sound. Holy crap, that's Bugman.
Hey, oh no, he's smashing through the wall.
What the hell? Oh no, man, what is all this? Who do you think you are?
I think, Mr. Butto, that I'm Bugman.
Yeah, and I'm Critter.
Who?
Yeah, well, Critter, must be Bugman's little bug boy.
No, I ain't Bug Boy. My name's Critter, stupid.
Yeah, well, you're gonna be a couple of crispy critters if you don't make amends for all the damage you did to my establishment.
Cut the smug attitude, Buttle. The damage to your establishment is minuscule to the troubles you're about to face when you're facing a double homicide charge.
Double homicide? I don't know what you're talking about, Bugman.
What? Yeah, you do. You killed my mom.
Shut up, Critter. Don't say that aloud to me. Anyway, Butto, we have it on good authority that you ordered the deaths of two performers at the Miracle Melvin Carnival.
What authority?
Well, the bugs told us. We got bug powers.
Damn it,
and we
Critter.
Can understand them. And they saw the whole thing.
A bug told you? Yeah, I knew you were stupid, Bugman, but I didn't think it would get this stupid. What world do you live in to think that a court, any court, would accept the testimony of bugs!
Stop laughing! That ain't funny! We ain't just got bugs! We got Melvin himself! He ain't no bug!
Shit.
He's a grown-ass man!
Shut up, Critter! He's an idiot! Don't listen to him! He don't know what he's talking about!
Yeah, well, it looks like he's in good company, Bugman, because I see a couple of idiots who better back their asses out of here! Lest I enact my right of self-defense.
Well, all right, Butto. You may have won this round.
What?
But there's plenty of other rounds to, you know, come around.
But Bugman!
Shut up, Critter. Let's get to the Bugmobile and leave.
God, Bugman, we didn't do nothing. I mean, all we did was smash in his front wall to his stupid gym. That ain't gonna make up for killing Mommy and Daddy.
Well, we don't really have enough evidence to bring a case against the man. And besides, the only thing we do have is Melvin, who was uncooperative. And then you went and squealed the squealer's name.
I ain't talking about no squealer. I talked about the bugs and Melvin.
Exactly.
Yeah, but... Oh, yeah.
However, it won't take Butto long to figure out that Melvin is a loose end he cannot afford to leave untied up.
Why would he tie him up?
Because he knows too much.
About the murders.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I guess that means we better head back to Melvin's and warn him.
Well, I mean... Yeah, I mean, sure, we should, and we could, but, I mean, if we stop Butto's men from doing that, then we still are back where we started with no evidence of a crime to pursue him with.
Oh, huh, what? Hey, look, there goes Butto's goons in that black car out the back of the gymnasium. They're probably heading over to Melvin's right now. But we could beat him there because the Bugmobile could fly.
Well, that's the problem, Critter. I've kind of drained the batteries and all this flying around, so I'm just going to have to drive the Bugmobile like a regular car as the batteries recharge. So hopefully we can get there in time to save Melvin. But if we don't, well, we've got Buttolo and his gang dead to rights.
Oh, boy!
And so, about, I don't know, 20 minutes later, we find ourselves back at the home of one Miracle Melvin.
Uh-oh, there's Butto's goon's car. And they're coming out of the house. Looks like they're already leaving.
Uh-oh, I wonder... Whoa, holy shit!
Oh, ass blew up!
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're too late to save Melvin. I hate to see this, but... it's not too late to bring justice.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna use the Bugmobile to ram their car to prevent their escape. Hold on! Oops, shit. I might have hit him too hard. I was hoping one of them would survive so they could turn on Butto.
Look at that guy! His backbone sticking out of his butt!
Oh my god. All the pain.
Serves you right, dumbass.
The pain only ends when you turn over Butto.
I'll just say whatever you want. Just get me to a hospital.
Wee. Ooh, he pooped himself.
Dad. All right, Critter. All right.
Help.
Who the hell's that?
I don't know. It's coming from the charred ruins of Melvin's house.
Great miracles, Bugman. It looks like Miracle Melvin survived.
Good Lord. Only barely. Take it easy, Mr. Melvin. I assure you, help is on the way.
It was Butto's men. They did this to me.
Yeah, we know. Well, we outsmarted him, because when I told him you told us Butto's name, man, we waited
what?
For him to head over here so
well,
we can catch him in the egg and smash their asses into that wall over there.
Damn it, Critter, shut up!
No. You knew they were coming here.
Traffic was a bitch, and, oh boy.
Ew, he pooped his pants, too. Ew, nasty.
Boss, Bugman and his bug boy caught us in the act. He got us dead to rights.
What the hell?
The cops are coming.
What? You useless bastards? Damn it!
Uh-oh. Butto's thug just warned Butto.
What? Oh, man, he's gonna get away.
No, he won't. To the Bugmobile.
Yeah, but it took us a while to get here.
Yeah, but during that ride around town, it recharged the batteries, so we can take it up in the sky.
Oh, boy.
And soon, back at Butto's gym.
Oh, what the hell? Oh, damn it. Yeah, Bugman ruined my back wall, too. Damn it. Oh, jeez.
Going somewhere, Butto.
All right, Bugman, all right. Listen, this briefcase I'm holding contains $10 million in cash. It's all yours. I'll just leave it on this desk if you just let me walk out of here.
Pathetic, Butto. Truly pathetic. If you think bribery will get you anywhere, you're completely wrong.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that, Bugman. I guess you leave me no choice.
He's got a gun, Bugman!
Oh, shit. Damn it. Where's my stinger bug gun?
I got it.
Huh?
Say goodbye to your balls, Butto.
What?
Holy shit. Oh, God, the stench.
Man, now his crutch is smoking.
All right, Critter. All right.
Well, you lived up to your word, Bugman. I got justice.
Yeah, that's true, Critter.
That's certainly one way to burn the balls of crime.
Well, how about that? There's a new force against evil. Bugman and Critter.
Bugman was written, produced, and performed by me, Douglas Nelson. Music came courtesy of Kevin MacLeod and other public domain sources.
The Mr. Nelson Show is brought to you by me, Night Night. Head over to IndiePlanet.com to get your copy of the Night Night comic book so that you can actually see me in action in my one-man war on crime. Shut up, Boo-Boo! God damn it! I do the announcements! Oh, God! No one gives a crap about Boo-Boo!
I'm 14! Tell him about false advertising!
Stupid idiot!
You, me, I help Night Night fight crime and we blow stuff up and do a lot of damage! Hey, of course, people get mad at us when we do, but...
Well, it's a war on crime, and in every war, there's collateral damage.
I mean, well, I guess it isn't one-man war, because exactly. I mean, it's a two-man war.
Oh. anyway, we're running out of time. Don't miss this opportunity to get your hands on the adventures of Night-Night.
And Boo-Boo.
Night-Night comic book available at IndiePlanet.com. One dark and stormless night in Cityopolis, Captain Charles Wetwin finds himself in the posh penthouse apartment of city banker Bolton Banks, now deceased, lying in his bedroom, which has now become a crime scene.
So that's it for old BB.
You knew him?
Only casually. I'm friends with the mayor and that sort of thing. So what do we got, really?
Well, it looks like death by electrocution. It appears somebody fried his brain.
Yeah, two lethal jolts of electricity shot right through his eyes into his brain.
Yeah, and with the killer leaving his calling card of 2 pennies for each eye. No doubt about it, Wetwin. Looks like our penny-obsessed murderer has struck again.
And perhaps this killer would not have struck again if I had been informed of his crimes earlier.
Yeah, well, I thought you'd be too busy looking for Boogeyman, who still hasn't been found, Night-Night, so...
Yeah, well, it's simple, Wetwin. We figured, you know, Boogeyman likes to do spooky stuff and it's all scary and everything, so we figured... He'd probably wait till Halloween to make his move, and we'll be there waiting.
Huh. Yeah, that's stupid enough to work.
Nevertheless, but when Boo-Boo and I are more than capable of handling
more than one pursuit.
Case in point, this curious, well, case involving pennies.
Yeah, well, this is the second murder to involve the killer leaving a calling card of 2 pennies on the eyes of the victim.
Yeah, what a moron! That's not how that works. You're supposed to put your falling out tooth underneath your pillow, and the tooth fairy takes the tooth and leaves you some money. You don't put the money on your eyes, and then the tooth fairy puts a tooth under your pillow. God, what a dumbass we're dealing with here.
No, Boo-Boo, you idiot. That's not what this signifies. In ancient times, it was often a practice to put coins on the eyes of the deceased so they could pay the ferryman their way into the afterlife.
What? No, you don't pay the fairy. The fairy pays you.
Now, Boo-Boo, Mr. Banks couldn't put his tooth underneath the pillow because he kept his teeth in a cup of water on his nightstand.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we suspect the possible motive might involve a grudge against Bolton's bank, City Bank.
You know, in school, we used to make fun of City Bank because we would call it Shitty Bank. We'd always go, Shitty Bank. You know, like that song about the flying cards.
God damn it, Boobo, shut up!
Yeah.
Now, wet one. Why would you suspect the motive involves a grudge against the bank overall and not just Bolton himself?
Well, because of the previous victim, a woman by the name of Taylor Teller.
And how does she fit into all of this?
Well, she was a teller. I understand her family lineage, but that doesn't explain her connection to a grudge against City Bank. I mean, she was a teller at the bank.
Yes, yes, of course. But perhaps you've missed the obvious here, Wetman.
Her name was Teller, and she was a teller. Therefore, she was silenced and prevented from telling what she knew.
Damn. Doesn't anybody teach people the Tooth Fairy rules no more? I mean, this dumbass left a note for the Tooth Fairy. That ain't gonna work.
Oh, goddammit. What the hell are you talking about, Lumo?
Man, there's a note under that glass full of false teeth.
What the hell? Let me see that. Whitman, this appears to be a note from the killer. It says,
Penny, for your thoughts, Mr. Banks.
Signed, the Penny Pincher.
Oh, man. Damn it, really? Your guys couldn't find that?
Well, I didn't want to go near the teeth in the cup. They creep me out.
You're in a room with a dead body with a fried brain. But the false teeth in a glass, that creeped you out.
What's even more creepy, Whitman, is the reality that we will have more victims if we don't put a stop to this penny pincher. For City Bank has
several more employees. Well, you got a point there, Night-Night. And what's even more disturbing is that, we owe the discovery of this important clue to Boobo.
Oh, no. Is this true? Could the fate of the employees of City Bank be in the gloved hands of Boobo?
Find out in the next exciting episode of Night Night.
This has been a Nails In production. The Night Night theme song is performed by Alistair White and his lovely wife, Heather. Incidental music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod. All characters are performed by me, Douglas Nelson. Join us again, will you? This is a Nails In News Bulletin.
Brazilian woman brazenly wheels elderly man's corpse into bank to co-sign a loan for her. Hello, I'm Mr. Nelson. In a mind-boggling scene, straight out of Weekend at Bernie's, a Brazilian woman reportedly wheeled the corpse of an elderly man into a Rio de Janeiro bank to try to get him to co-sign on a loan. The bank customer, identified as Erica de Souza Vieira Nunes, was captured on video standing next to the deceased, seated in a chair and seemingly holding up his drooping head. The wild footage, which was first aired by TV Globo, Brazil's largest broadcaster, captured Nunes talking to the dead man, whom she addressed as her uncle, and asking him to sign financial documents that would allow her to take out a $3,400 loan. Uncle, are you listening? You need to sign the loan contract.
If you don't sign, there's no way, because I can't sign for you, Nunez says in the video while thrusting a pen between the limp fingers and instructing him to hold it hard. Sign, so you don't give me any more headaches. I can't take it anymore, she adds. When a bank worker tries to point out that the man's color looks off and he appears not well, Nunez dismisses his concerns. He is like that. He doesn't say anything, Nunez says. Uncle, do you want to go to the hospital again? Unnerved, bank staffers quickly called the police, who arrived and arrested Nunez. It was later determined that the decedent, identified as 68-year-old Paulo Roberto Braga, had been dead for several hours prior to his trip to the bank. She tried to pretend to get him to sign the loan. He already entered a bank dead, Police Chief Fabio Luis told TV Globo. The main thing is to continue the investigation to identify other family members and find out more about this loan. Police said they will look into the circumstances of Braga's death and will try to determine whether Nunez is actually his niece and whether other relatives were involved in the alleged attempt to commit bank fraud. Nunez could face charges of theft through fraud or embezzlement and abuse of a corpse. So apparently we've got a vulture here attempting to pick this corpse clean in order to remedy her headaches.
This has been a Nelson News Bulletin. The views and opinions expressed during the Mr. Nelson Show do not necessarily reflect those held by RadioMisfits.com. So, any complaints and or comments should be sent to @MrNelson on Twitter, where they will be promptly ignored and or blocked.